Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In 2015, I wrote a column about a video. And I said it would tear the city apart and rearrange the politics and rip things. There was a video of the police officer Jason Van Dyke shooting Laquan McDonald, the teenager, 16 times. It was a video that was hidden from view by City Hall until safely after Rahm Emanuel's election in 2015. And now we're on the eve of the trial, and that could do the same thing. Van Dyke's murder trial is set to start this week. The outcome will be serious if there's a conviction. Some will be upset, maybe police officers. And if there's not a conviction, we could see violence in the streets because it's been building. I see in the newspapers, the mayor's newspaper, that that'll be part of a calculation as to whether he's going to seek re-election or not. And I'm wondering, does that newspaper listen to the Chicago Way? Because didn't we talk about that just 2 weeks ago here? We're going to have Jamal Green of Black Lives Matter, candidate for mayor, on the show. He's Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN's Rokan show with Ann DeVellantis. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Things are in the balance. And if you want to know what's going on and how it'll work out, you want to be someplace. It's a street where things are told and things are learned. And we call it the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
Jeff Carlin, what do you think, man? This trial's coming up, and I see the Sun-Times writing the story about, hey, will Rahm seek re-election? I'm like, wait a minute. Am I being too picky and too, like, you know, covetous about things that we do? I guess if we're collegial, everyone does everything, but
yeah,
just wanted to let readers, listeners know, that's why you come here to the Chicago Way, because we have it first. And we talk about it without any filter. And you might want to find us on iTunes, write us a kick-ass review so we can keep doing this, because I love doing it. Do you?
Oh, yeah. I love doing it, John. You may be covetous, but it also may have become absolutely blatantly, blindingly obvious less than a week before this trial starts and Rahm suddenly has petitioners out.
Oh, right.
And, you know, committee men and that types being called into duty. It's also suspicious that that happened shortly after someone else, some news broke that someone else may be throwing their hat in the ring.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I read those stories too in both papers that the son of Kaiser Sosa, Jerry Joyce Jr., it was going to run. And that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Did we not talk about that too?
Yeah.
Well, let's get even further on this, and so we can give our colleagues something to read about and write about later when they read this or listen to this. But you've got Rahm Emanuel going into a re-election campaign with the Laquan McDonald trial on, you know, scheduled. You've got Jason Van Dyke, the police officer, making his media tour, talking to the Tribune, to Dane Placco, and to others. What is he doing there, Jeff?
Well, I think he's trying to get his piece out there, you know, paint himself with one last chance as a compassionate human person that this couldn't have been something he needed to do. And it sounded a lot like he was laying the table for a legal argument in that he was trained to do this. And if anybody is to blame, it would be the police department who didn't train him properly. I mean, that's what it sounded like when you listen to it.
When you watch it, it looks like he's the one cop that pulls his gun.
Yeah.
And all the others don't.
Right.
And it looked like a guy who was badly trained.
Right.
That looks like a guy who, you know, was terrified and pulled his gun and shot this kid 16 times.
Mm-hmm.
16 times? You could see maybe, okay, you got a knife and the guy's not coming for him. Although I guess I'll make an argument that he was threatened, the guy was coming at him, like that 87-year-old woman with the
dandelions,
corta,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You shoot once or twice, okay, but the guy's on the ground, and then you pump 14 more rounds into him, his legs are twitching. We're not anti-police here.
No, not at all. That which leads me to think there was a... I'm going to use a term, and I don't mean it to be derogatory or anything like that, but like a PTSD effect. Like this guy was in attack unit who was in a high crime area, who was seeing terrible things all the time, day in, day out, working overtime because the city doesn't have enough cops. And a stress of a moment like that, you know, he lost his control, lost his impulse control, became something else and just snapped. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. That's what it sounds like to me as a possibility. I mean, you can't discredit the fact that this guy was could have been strung out on being in his position and doing his job. I mean, you read stories about guys in the army who do similar stupid things where they're under stress.
You mean the ones
that
don't even say Allah Akbar before they start shooting all their colleagues, right?
Right.
Like that doctor, remember?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so I can certainly see a realm of possibility where, you know, it doesn't make it right, but then there's probably an underlying issue here. There is, and we've talked to Paul Vallis about it, how there's this no command and control. There's one sergeant for two dozen officers.
A lot of stress on these.
Right, guys. And so then these guys aren't, there's no one else is seeing, no one of authority, because no one, you know, brother to brother, no one's going to say, hey, dude, you needed to take a day because you are worn out. No one's going to say that to a guy because he's going to piss him off. But if a commander or a sergeant can see someone is starting to fray around the edges and making bad decisions elsewhere, then you can cut this off before it happens.
But you have the other side of this coin, which is we say he should have a fair trial. We believe this.
Yeah.
If we don't have this, you know, we believe it. I mean, if we don't have the understanding that everyone gets a fair trial, then we're nothing. We lose our country.
Sure.
But the city doesn't want a fair trial.
No.
And I don't think a lot of people who live in the city want a fair trial. What they want is Van Dyke to go down for it for many reasons. But one is, if he doesn't go down for it, we're going to have problems.
Yeah.
You're going to see Antifa. They're going to be coming in. And I've talked to enough people for my Sunday column about this. They're worried that Antifa is coming in. They know that they have street gangs out there, street gangs and others who are going to push it.
Yeah.
People are going to be pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
They're going to be windows broken. Just think what happened when that barber was shot on the south side.
All right, for reaching for a gun.
Right. It did, but so people didn't care.
Right. That's the point, is that was you know, one of the cases where it was recorded and justified. I mean,
right.
There's no gray area there, and people, even after the fact, were still upset and protesting.
So what does that tell you? As a news producer, you're going to be in this mix of this thing just like me. What do you see?
Well, I mean, I see it's going to be the topic du jour for the next month. I mean, as long as this trial goes on, for sure. But what do I see is what's going to happen? I mean, you just laid it out. There's no doubt that there is going to be an ill effect on this city, no matter what happens in this case, I think. I don't think he gets found. You can't convict him. I don't think he gets convicted because, you know, it's a murder one charge.
You think he walks on this?
I think he walks.
Well, then what do we do? Change the name of Chicago to Ferguson, Missouri, or Baltimore? Because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but I don't think you Do you do that? Do you choose justice because for the betterment of the better good that we can't handle a riot? I mean, 50 years ago, we lived through it.
I don't know. O.J. Simpson walked, didn't he?
Yeah, it's true. But
that, you know what?
But there was also a litany of evidence that shaded the truth.
Killed her.
No, absolutely. But you had a cop who was outwardly racist, who was using derogatory phrases in terms and in interrogations, who was overtly anti-black in his everything, his profession and his life.
And now he's a commentator on Fox News.
Exactly. So, I mean, that I don't think that case, and we don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there is some Jason Van Dyke evidence somewhere where he's a tried and true racist that we don't know about.
What does it like have to do with the shooting?
If you can prove that he has an animosity to a certain group of people going into his daily profession,
you could put a case together,
sure. That every day he put on his pants with the intention of killing a black man.
Which he said he didn't.
Right.
I have to commend, I have to commend the Chicago Tribune, Stacy Sinclair, Christy Gutowski, who did the first interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they did it, they did something that I don't think a lot of broadcasts do, but the broadcast followed did it. And that is, they laid out the conditions that the interview was held.
Yeah.
They didn't try to, this is an exclusive interview, and this is what he said. Isn't that amazing? They also said the lawyers had it under control, that certain things weren't to be asked about, or he would not refer. And when he did speak about things, certain things, or started straying, they pulled him back. And I thought that was really honest, because I've seen the TV carry water.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And not even say what the lawyer's doing.
You're professionals. Dane Placco, a friend who's another professional, same thing. We talked to him on air because it was, he had other audio. I mean, I would have put Stacy on in a heartbeat, but then Dane popped up and his audio was yet to be heard. So they gave us a little forward of it where he talks about being suicidal. And
the Tribune doesn't really have that PR thing,
no,
isn't it?
That's true.
We don't have a PR.
No,
we don't tell our own story.
I know. I've never gotten a call from somebody at the Tribune for, hey, we've got a great story. We'd really love some help getting the word out there. I read the paper, so then I call the reporters directly. Right. But yeah, sometimes it's a blessing and a curse, because the Washington Post, they have a PR system that is so dense that it almost rivals ROMs that you try to get through and get somebody. Placco said the same thing, that he wanted to ask those questions, and he got close to asking questions about, what were you thinking at the time? What was, what happened after? All this. And, his lawyers interceded. They made sure the ground rules were set. It was a risk for his lawyers to even agree to do this or even put this together.
Else did they have to lose?
Well, I mean,
all they need is one juror, and they can go through the jury process and still change their mind.
Yeah. Oh,
and
for
say,
sure.
No, we don't want a jury. The other thing is, the other day before doing this podcast, I called Jamal Green, and he was doing, and I know that a lot of police officers, I have friends who are police officers, black, white, brown, and they'll be pissed at me.
They will.
They'll be pissed at me. How dare you even go near him? But, that's part of what you do.
Yeah.
This is our job. And also I want to hear what he has to say, because what concerns me, he was at the taping. Laura Ingraham did a taping for Fox of Town Hall on Violence in Chicago. They had asked me to be part of it, but, I have the columns to do.
Yeah.
And I was doing that other podcast that you were going to edit. And Jamal said that if the police officer walks, there's a really good chance there'll be violence. And he also said something I agree with him on, which is, this didn't have to happen.
Oh, yeah.
If Rahm Emanuel had not sat on the video, if they'd come out early on and said, we have a terrible thing to tell you, this police officer killed this kid, here's the video, we're putting together a team together to investigate, and
justice will be served.
Yeah, but no, he didn't, did he?
No.
Because he wanted to get elected.
Right.
So he sat on it.
That's why I think he's a terrible leader. Like, Rahm is, he's an enforcer. He's a type of guy who Barack Obama was smart to put in as a chief of staff, because he's a guy who can, put people in their place and make them do things. He's a junkyard dog when it comes to that.
Do you want a hammer, boss, or do you want an ice pick?
I mean, I think those are falling into the same bag, but yeah. I want a leader who's going to make sense, who has the foresight to be like, hey, instead of shading the truth here or trying to withhold something, you get out in front of it and you lead with your example, you lead by who you are.
That's not him.
I know it's not. He's a subterfuge and a cloak and daggers kind of guy. I mean, this is the same guy who, you know, walks into saunas and berates
naked
people. Yeah, who he needs to get a hold of, corners them into submission, or
is that your
sends
finger,
dead
sir?
Fish to people,
yeah,
as a joke. I mean,
yeah.
So
good point.
So I
might steal it.
Go for it. But that's the point. I mean, I the leadership in this city, I mean, you can, here's a point of leadership that I think is funny, and this has nothing to do with anything of super import. But look at Lakeshore Drive, look at the bike path on the Lakeshore on the north side, right? They decided right after the Air and Water Show or around there, they were going to tear up a huge stretch of it to make it wider and this great thing. Mm-hmm. Right in the middle of the summer, and who is using the bike path the most, the path on the lake? People who are coming in from out of town and are the citizens who pay an enormous amount of taxes, dollars.
And we'll pay more.
Right. So instead of doing this in the fall and then, you know, you could do it.
Bears.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not even that part. We're talking north side. I mean, we're talking like north up all the way up to Hollywood. But it doesn't make sense. I mean, there's miles of stretch and they're like, oh, well, you know, it's the summer. Nobody's using it. You can see projects going on to the highest bidder in the middle of winter here. And the city couldn't
do it. People get stressed, too. Listen, just outside the door of the WJN studios where we're at, because I'm in a jacket and tie, and I'm not in my shorts barefoot eating a heirloom tomato like I was the other day. And by the way, Jeff, I have to say, I've been remiss in not thanking you enough. I've been sending in very long versions of the podcast, and you managed to make them into... You're a good editor,
Jeff. Thank you.
Okay, let me tell you what happened. So there's a construction on Wacker Drive as well.
Yeah.
And I'm pulling in to see you. Come to the studio. I was at with Lauren Cohn on LS, and I'm driving over here to do this, and construction traffic, I had to stop and block the crosswalk, and I couldn't move. And so this old lady was looking at me, and she's saying, she nods, like she's like literally like 85 years old, nods and smiles sweetly. And then she says, you, and gives me the finger. That's how people are now.
This town.
I love it.
Oh.
Hello, ma'am. My goodness, you have such an attractive little garden here.
Oh, thank you, young man. I just planted those flowers last week. My, how they grow.
Yes, ma'am. We're from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Oh, the Mormons.
That's right. I'm Elder Young, and this is Elder White.
Well, you two boys can just right off.
Ma'am?
You heard me. Take that Book of Mormon and shove it so far up your righteous asses that you choke. Soul-soliciting pig.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, let me sing this song. Tell me why can't we just get along? Yeah, let me sing this song. Tell me why can't we just get along? Yeah.
Okay, I've got a lot of police officer friends. Paramedic friends, fire department friends. I got friends in Mount Greenwood, Jefferson Park, South Side, East Side, black, white, brown, and a lot of them are going to be pissed off now because our guest is a candidate running for mayor of Chicago. He's also involved with Black Lives Matter. His name is Jamal Green.
How you doing?
Morning to the Chicago Wake.
Good morning. Thanks for having
Welcome.
Me. They won't be mad. You know, I think that there's a... That's a bad perception that's out there that I'm not a friend of police. That's actually not true.
Oh, because BLM is like pro-police.
Well, I'm not really BLM. I'm a community activist that holds accountable bad officers. And I actually have a huge base, and if you follow me around on this campaign, of police officers. Because the good ones hate the bad ones, too.
What's the BLM connection with Jamal Green?
Well, the BLM connection is that media uses BLM. All right.
Well, Black Lives Matter.
Well, Black Lives Matter is a movement, not the organization. So they're two separate things. So I'm not affiliated with the organization itself. I'm saying that, you know, we want Black lives to be equal. Yeah. So that's the movement.
So you're part of a, you say you're part of a, what? A larger consciousness, but you're not part of the official organization. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Before we go in, and we talked the other day on the phone when you were at Fox, and there's a lot of fascinating things you said, and I want to go over them, but
yeah.
First I got to call out this group. All right. I just do.
Yeah.
Pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. And worse, even, this was all in New York, worse even was guys getting around, you know, two coppers getting lost, some rookies getting lost on the end of a long pier.
Right.
And they looked like they were just, I don't know, it looked like a bad movie with almost like zombies, but not black zombie movie. It was just bad. They were just scared, and people were coming around them. You saw the video too. What am I supposed to make of people who associate themselves with BLM and then that commentary, pigs in a blanket, frame right like bacon? How am I supposed to process that?
You know,
that's the same thing of like if there was like a Klansman here.
Right.
You know, and he wanted to talk about free trade. I'd be on his ass, too. So let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to even answer that question. Listen, we got people all over the country that, you know, are on their own sides. I mean, literally.
Do you condemn that kind of discussion language or not?
Yeah, some of it, definitely. You know, I have condemned the things that I've said, you know, in the past as well. I mean, I think that we got to understand that in this time and environment and in America, when you have videos releasing, when you have, you know, you see someone get shot 16 times, you know, people start using language and get emotional about what's going on. And I have in the past as well, and I've apologized for several comments, but we honestly just want to be equal, in this country. So that's really all that it is.
All right. So you're running for mayor, and I suspect that part of the reason you're running is because the mayor of Chicago, is in a trick box right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Jason Van Dyke trial, accused of murdering Laquan McDonald.
Yeah.
It's up. The city is freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
All the property owners are like, oh my God, oh my God.
Right.
They're worried.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about violence.
Yeah.
And there was a taping at Fox, Laura Ingram.
It was.
She asked me to be on the show.
I
couldn't do it because I was, you know, writing the column.
Right.
But you were on, and I'm told, did I get this wrong? I'm told I heard this from a source, that you walked up to the police union boss and extended your hand and he wouldn't shake your hand.
Yeah, it was exactly true. He is one disgusting man. I mean, I think that, I'll be honest here, I was being nice. You know, I'm a person, and if you know me, you know that I'm a person that knows how to compromise. I'm a person that knows how to be professional. But in these cases, you know, I went up to Kevin Graham and I said, "How you doing, Mr. Graham?" Just to shake his hand. Everybody's backstage waiting to go up. And
did you ask him how his tomatoes were growing in Deerfield or Lincoln Woods?
No. And I had the opportunity to rag on him, and I didn't. And he said that you should be ashamed of yourself for some of the things you say. I would never shake your hand. And, you know, I just smiled and said, okay, that's no problem. Yeah. And I could have gotten to a shouting match with him, but that wasn't what I was there for.
Well, how old are you?
23.
So you're not 19.
Right.
When you're 19, you might shout.
Exactly.
Starting to grow.
He acts 19.
Well, we'll have him on too. One thing that we know, at least I assume, 3 years ago, I wrote a column saying there would be a video coming out. It would tear the city of Chicago apart. It would change the politics of the city.
Right.
And now we're on the edge of the trial.
Yeah.
I'm putting all this on Rahm Emanuel. I'll tell you why. If he had release the video mm-hmm. instead of holding it back
yeah.
to get elected and get elected over Chewy. Because if it had come out late,
he'd
have lost.
He'd lost.
But if he had come out publicly and talked to the people about what was going on.
Exactly.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I fully agree. My company is partnered with the city at the time. And, you know, if Rahm Emanuel would have came out first thing early on and said, hey, this is my first term. This is video. We're going to release it. It's horrific. We're going to make some necessary police reforms, and we're going to invest in urban communities, and I'm going to do my best to be a champion for justice. You know, if he would have did that right after the video, right after it happened, then he would be in a different situation today, and he would have been able to show that he can lead the city.
And do you think he can leave the city now?
No, I think it's over with. I think that the people, I think he's honestly disqualified. You know, from we could look at policies all the way down. It's been exposed even after Laquan McDonald video. He has just been a horrible mayor in everything from education, from police reform to housing to economic development. We can go all across the board, and I can show you how he's messed up in each one of those things. He should not be mayor of Chicago.
Go on, Jeff.
Jamal, I mean, when people vote, often they vote with their checkbook. What do you see as the economic future of this city? I mean, Rahm has obviously sold us a bill of goods in tech boom and creating a second Silicon Valley or a third Silicon Valley, if you
will. Elon Musk land.
Yeah. So what's your vision for this city? I mean, where do you see the financial engine for this city being?
Well, you know what? What we have is, and let me just say this, and I'm going to, you know, segue to that, is that it's technically a strategic gentrification plan. You know, Chris Kennedy said it best, that's going on in the city. We have lots and lots of land on the southwest and the east sides. And ultimately, they want to take it and push those who can't afford to live there out of those communities and make the whole city high middle class, you know, or higher, you know, type city. So at the end of the day, I think that Chicago and the market for the future is that we have to make sure that we are giving incentives for corporations to come into these communities so that we can create economic development. But
why would I want to come to a community when kids are getting shot off the porch, man?
No, I fully agree with that. But that's why we got to give some very good incentives to corporations to do it. Or we have to empower those in those communities to go ahead and start that economic development. And so I proposed a plan with abandoned schools in which community members and organizations can come together and have a plan to benefit the community, whether that is greenhouse, vertical farm, manufacturing. And if it has a sustainability component, we'll approve it and do the first year's budget and partner one of those banks who aren't meeting their CRA guidelines. So if we empower those who are in those communities, as well as give small businesses access to capital, then we can start, you know, changing the communities ourselves.
I'm all about people doing things for the betterment of themselves. I'm not about having the government empower anyone mm-hmm. because I say, have a level playing field, have a playing field where anyone can get in.
Yeah.
But
it hasn't been that way forever.
There's a plan that Paul Vallis brought up. I thought it was pretty smart. He said that Donald Trump has a program to allow for capital investment in blighted neighborhoods, and the city is not taking advantage of it because mm-hmm. Rahm hates, you know, Rahm's campaigning against Trump, really.
Right.
You know, look at how much I hate Trump. Look at how much I hate Trump.
I don't see why. You know, he let him put his name on his building after that $50,000 donation.
It was daily, I
think,
right?
Yeah, it was. It was daily.
But Vallis makes the argument, I don't care what color the dog is, as long as it, you know, can hunt, basically. And it sounds like a decent idea to even explore. Why isn't the city not exploring that?
Because of that strategic gentrification plan, I think, I honestly think because it got to be bigger than just, you know, because it's easy to understand the problem now, right? As mayor, especially with two terms, you know that you need to invest in these communities, right? So if you can't, and if you don't, or don't try to find different ways to invest in these communities, then it's just kind of like, what's the bigger plan here? You know, what's really going on? Because now you look at the special, the TIF districts, and over a third is going to the special TIFs. And, you know, you just look at the way the city is actually investing and you say, okay, something more is actually going on. And this is a part of a plan that we just can't see.
So you agree with Trump then? That there should be lower taxes and incentives for companies to come in and give jobs to people that don't have.
I fully agree. I agree
right.
with that.
Did you lose your black card or whatever
black
BS
card?
They say? Right here, that BS.
No, you know, listen, I of course I'm no fan of Trump. Everyone knows this, but I'm a fan of ideas that's going to move this city and country forward. And at the end of the day, we need some real investment into these communities. And if we got a good plan that, you know, that Trump program is one of the best plans, I think we should go for it. It's not about Trump.
Well, the politics, I keep seeing the president talk about black unemployment. And I keep looking at stats, which are pretty good.
High is here.
High here.
Yeah.
What's the attitude of African Americans to Trump, the real one? I'm not talking about the media puppets.
Right.
Or there's always a few. When reporters were mostly white.
Right.
And news organizations were all white. That we would select. Like, let's select a black man and make him prominent, and then he can translate the black experience for us. I mean, it was really ridiculous. And even though they thought of themselves as liberal, it was the height of racism.
Right.
Oh, let's get a black guy. Why don't you just go out there and talk to people? Right?
Right.
So,
crazy.
Given that, what's the real attitude toward Trump?
Well, you know,
I don't think it's as bad as the media presents it.
Well, you know, I won't say that. I mean, this is what I will say. What I will say, because I didn't get to say this on Fox National yesterday,
right.
is what I was going to say was, listen, Donald Trump has a huge ego. Okay, he wants to be the best ever, best president ever. Right? He says it all the time. Well, I'm going to say this. There has never been a president to actually solve these problems in minority communities, you know, since the beginning of the time. And so if he wants to be that, if he wants to be the best ever, then solve it. Do
well,
it.
Well, how do you do that when you have when you have a whole group of people? A friend of mine, Stephanie Trussell, calls it the donkey plantation. She's
right.
Black. She still has her black card. I guess she didn't go to the person that decides who's black or not.
Right.
And there are many others who think so.
Well, you know, what I will say is that the president has to be committed to it. Okay? That's what I will say.
When you have Democrats, when you have Democrats who take black people for granted.
I agree.
And we know in this town.
I agree.
It's always been so.
Always.
How are you supposed to get anything
always.
Done?
Yep. Well, listen, I fully agree, but I don't think it's about party. I think it's about the people. All right. We have been controlled. Yes, the party has controlled the state of politics and picked their own people. So that's the problem is that now we have to unify and pick our own people who are going to change the state of politics. And we can't allow the politics and money to keep on putting their own people in power.
That's what's been going on
for 50 years.
That's what I see your campaign about.
Mm-hmm.
You're 23 years old. You haven't had much experience running a major city before. But I see this campaign, Jamal.
Many others.
I see this campaign. I don't really think there are many qualified running.
Mm-hmm.
On your campaign, I see a 23-year-old young man. You're as old as my son's. And I see an old, almost discredited black politic in the town.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I mean, it's just one step up from hams and turkeys and watermelons out the truck.
Right.
Before election day. And I'm old enough to have seen that.
Right.
And it's just like so old and tired. And I see that's what your campaign is about, to establish you as a voice competing with these other voices.
Yeah. And
you agree?
You know, many people, you know, won't see it now, but over the next few months, you know, it's going to be clear. We got some big things that's going to be happening, as well as a lot of big names that's going to be helping this campaign. And, you know, we're going to stay the course. We're going to keep a clear and hopeful message and, you know, show that I'm really the only candidate in this race that is not tainted, not tied to, you know, bogus, you know, politics or establishment politics. And we need a new voice. We need a refreshing change.
There's only one thing wrong with you.
What's that?
And I've been telling this. I told this to a million people. Mm-hmm. You're too liberal. You're not conservative. Black people are conservative, yep, socially. And I think Lori Lightfoot's going to find that out if she keeps running. And what's missing here, if you're really going to be anti-establishment,
right,
you would be a conservative or libertarian anti-establishment. Otherwise, mm-hmm, if you're Democrat and anti-establishment in a Democratic town like Chicago,
right,
hams and turkeys, and all that, that's
well,
not going to
happen. Well, you know what? I think that, you know, Gary McCarthy, you know, if he didn't believe that he could win as a Republican, I mean, because that's really what he is, and he should have ran as Republican. But he knew that this is a Democratic city in town. And so at the end of the day, it's, you know, my whole thing is being under Bernie Sanders and having him as a mentor of mine, you know, over the last few years is, you know,
unfortunate. It should have been. I would like to get it back. Issues of William F. Buckley and the National Review.
Yeah,
but anyway,
like, you know, I think that we have the opportunity to take over the Democratic Party and make them change their values, make them change their faces. You know, look at what Andrew Gillum just did, a good friend of mine's. Look at what Stacey is doing in Georgia, Alexandria Ocasio. Like, you know,
she doesn't know anything about the economy.
Okay, we're not going to go on with specific names, right, but mainly to show that we could, you know, gather some new values and take over the party. You know, that's how I feel.
Let's get back to the local stuff.
Yeah.
So, Rahm's in trouble. I said it 2 weeks ago on this podcast. Now I see other people, I guess, listening to the podcast, writing about it. Will Rahm run again was one of the podcast subjects. And that was like 2 weeks ago or something. I see it somewhere in the papers. And I got to ask you, when will Barack Obama, blessed be his name, he's got a temple of love being built for $200 million.
Temple of Hope, John.
Is it Temple of Hope where people are getting gentrified and moved out of their neighborhood?
Yeah.
Because we have to have a place for the black bourgeoisie to have cocktail parties.
We got right? That part.
When is he going to come in and put his loving arms around Barack? I mean,
Rahm
and endorse him and say, "What a wonderful man you are."
I don't think he will this time. If he does, I think it really hurts him and his credibility. I think ultimately hurt his credibility last time he ran. I don't see him and can't see him as a smart, definitely politician. Coming to endorse Rahm again for the third time, just especially with all that's going on, I think he stays neutral. And I'm also happy that you know, they postponed some of the you know, Obama presidential center now.
Yeah, it's not a library, no books in
no,
it. Right?
No books in it.
But a lot of tchotchke.
Because yeah. I want to pressure the president to sign a CBA, you know.
Which stands for?
Community Benefits Agreement.
He didn't want to sign it last time.
Yeah, and you know, his reasoning, and this is what I say. Let me say this. Obama has inspired me from a young boy, and there's videos circulating now where I was 12 years old doing a speech. I won the orator competition in the city. So he's always inspired me, but I'm not emotional when we're making decisions. We have to understand that we can't be just emotional. Yes, he was the first black president. We love Obama. That's great. But we can't allow him to come in and mess us over and push us out of these communities. And his excuse is we won't see gentrification until his kids have kids. I mean, I think this is just bullcrap.
Really?
We know this.
Bull, people are getting moved out now. Rents are going up.
Come on.
On the violence issue with Laquan McDonald. If Van Dyke is not convicted, what happens in Chicago?
Yeah, hey, that's a good question. You know, I think that we got to brace ourselves. I mean, you know, I hear talks, you know, on the ground. I think that people would definitely be fed up. I just can't imagine Jason Van Dyke getting off, but looking this last 45-minute interview that he shouldn't have had. Hopefully he gets held in contempt. And but anyway, it looks like that he could possibly get off here. And
if he gets off, will there be violence in Chicago? Simple question.
You know what? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think that.
That's not what you told me yesterday.
Well,
so talk to me I'm a grown-up.
I'll be real with you. Right. If he gets off, I think there will be several groups that'll be ready to be violent in the city. Yes, you know, I'll be honest with that. I mean, you got to look at Ferguson. You got to look at other cities. This case is a huge case, even bigger than some of the other cases that have made cities roar.
Will they be coming in from out of town, waiting to kick some ass here?
It's possible. I mean, you know, it's possible. But this is what the city has created. You know, they create these type of situations and environments. Just like you said, if Romney did this early, or if, you know, they created what can happen or what will happen and allowed it to boil up to this point. And then now, once it gets to this point, now that they're going to, you know, have more resources and call in this and call in that and arrest and shoot and kill and do whatever they're going to do. You know, now they got to contain a situation, but they created it. So, you know, we got to hold them responsible for that. I honestly hope that the situation doesn't boil out. I really hope that he gets convicted. But if he doesn't, you know, I'll be there to try to do as much as I can to calm. But mostly important, make sure everybody is held responsible being in this race.
So, Jamal, one of the things I hear from friends of mine who, you know, live on the south and west sides, their aldermen are useless. I mean, they say that they're at the trough. That they feed at the trough of ROM or City Hall, and they don't care as long as they keep getting fed.
Useless.
Right. Well, how do you change people's minds about those guys? How do you change that message? How do you break that trickle down mentality? Well, you got to do this because or else I can't take care of you.
Well, you know, I know a little bit about politics, even though I haven't been in a seat. But what I will say is that
I didn't mean any disrespect by it.
No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I use that, because that makes me better.
But back to his point
is that, you know, don't you guys see a lot of aldermen running now? You know, there's going to be a lot of different aldermen that are going to start retiring and start getting up out of here because they see things getting boiling.
Yeah, but that's down the road. How do you get those guys? Their message is going to be vote for ROM, vote for ROM, vote for ROM.
And that won't work in these communities.
Well, why? How do you affect that change?
Because there are going to be a lot of other aldermanic candidates that I'll be supporting, young progressive candidates. I got over 12 already in different wards throughout the city. And we're going to be running against these aldermen. And people, especially with the Laquan McDonald and everything going on, you tie those aldermen right to ROM. You say, yeah, they voted with ROM on the $5 million. They voted with ROM with the police academy. They voted with ROM with this and that. You tie them straight to ROM and say, we cannot trust none of these aldermen who have voted 99% with ROM Emanuel.
One thing you're missing is that back in the day, from the earliest times, before there was a black politic, when there was just like a white politic in Chicago, mm-hmm. street gangs were tied, you know, like the gangs in New York makes me laugh with their little dead rabbits and all that stuff.
Right.
Because here, rocks were thrown to kill a black man on 31st Street Beach, and that spawned the Democratic machine.
Hmm.
So the largest race riot in the city's history, and the most deadly in the country. But you haven't mentioned the street gang. I know they're all clicked up now, but historically, aldermen have used, and every ward has used muscle to get what they need, get people out, because they're the only organized groups. What happens now when you have the gangs back? Not as more Larry Hoover, and I don't know what Gator can say now, you know, walk around, try. Gator, you're old now. You know, I don't know if he has credit anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're right. They're not as organized as they used to be. So you may have 100 cliques and just one neighborhood. But, you know, it's going to take them too. So, you know, I have ends with a lot of these different groups, and you know, we're gonna have to be working with them, you know, during this campaign. And
do you text each other?
Do I? No.
Smart man. Just texting, because you know the feds can read.
I know. I don't want no scandal. Yeah. I'll be like Trump when I'm mayor, and they be releasing. No, so. but anyway, I think that we have to utilize everybody on the ground. And then, you know, show them how to live a different lifestyle.
So use the gang muscle and then try to rehabilitate them after they got you elected.
I'm not really saying that.
there's a lot to learn on the Chicago way. thanks, Jamal, for being here. Jamal
thanks
Green,
for having me.
Candidate for mayor. He's going to put his petitions out and he's going to be running.
You going to sign one?
What?
You going to sign one?
I'll sign them all. I'll sign 15 with 15 different pens. We'll see. But no, I don't sign them. Thanks for being here, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Jeff, that was something, huh?
Yeah. Jamal is a bright guy, that's for sure.
He's a bright young man, and I know coppers are going to hate me for having him on, but this is what we do.
Yeah. Right?
And also, he's on the verge of actually not playing the Bernie thing.
Right.
If you're going to be intellectually honest, you want black people to have freedom or any minority groups. You go with the politicians that have treated you like crap for 50, 75 years.
Right.
I don't get it. But that's another issue. Jeff, any closing thoughts today? Besides the fact that I talked too long on the last podcast, you had to cut out the cool stuff about, I don't know, what did you have to cut out?
I had to cut out some of the peaches and a discussion about peaches, which is sad, but long story short, someone knows Oak Park, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody stole the peaches from a man and his wife and children.
Right. And the reporting is that there were other people who've had over the years their trees stripped of all their fruit.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's an animal issue. I don't think it's a person.
I think that this is not like...
Or aliens.
This is, you know what? You could go to the Dotyev experiment or whatever it was, where the Russians were lost and they went on a hiking trip. You know that one? It's bizarre. Kind of like X-Files. And the one woman had her eyes poked out and her tongue ripped out. And then all others were dead, and they didn't know what happened. It could have been an evil force.
Yeah.
Right? That's a scary one. But I don't think it was this. I think it was just, think of this. Some neighbor getting a ladder and stealing all the damn peaches.
Yeah. Do you see somebody with a ladder, I mean, walking down the street in Oak Park with a bunch of peaches? No one's going to be suspicious.
It's got to be a neighbor in the middle of the night, quietly.
Labeling all the, well, it's got to be this.
Did you ever see an animal eat peaches? They take a bite, they throw them down. They don't.
Birds don't eat. Birds take and eat and fly.
We have to come back. When we come back, I'm going to find that email that I sent you from some man that said, all the birds flew away with little peaches and their little tiny bird feet and carried them away.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Occam's razor.
You're a man of science.
Occam's razor.
Go to the simplest thing. For Jeff Carlin, WGN radio producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVolantes and the guy who drops in all this killer sound that we love. And for John Cass, me, John Cass, husband, father, tomato gardener, peach lover, and columnist of the Chicago Tribune, who does a podcast that others in the media seem to like to listen to and find out what's going on. Now, the reason you're here is because you want to be on the Chicago way.